Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Capitol in Carson City. On the program today, we have a great all-pundit show with John Sandy IV, Russell Rowe, and Joe Gill. That's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. 40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We're in the Capitol in the old Supreme Court building, and we're joined on an all-pundit show with John Sandy IV. With Argentum Partners, Russell Rowe with the Rowe Law Group, and Attorney Joe Gill. Pleasure to have you all here.
Morning.
So the biggest story has to be the $20 million fine that the Nevada Gaming Commission laid out to Wynn Resorts. The juxtaposition of that is that Wynn makes $2 million a day in terms of profit.
Sure.
So how big of a fine was that? But I guess the other part is, you know, what are we going to see from Massachusetts? What are we going to see from Macau? Because they both have investigations going as well. So it could be significantly more than $20 million.
Absolutely. I mean, but to your the first question, I mean, it is the largest fine that they've ever administered. So yeah,
multiple of four.
I don't think that the fact that they make $2 million a day necessarily weighs into the gravity of the impact of the fine and what's going to be taken away, because the implications will be felt in Massachusetts. They will likely be felt in Macau, where these investigations are now. You know, hopefully this is a good opportunity, though, for the Wynn to kind of close the book on this, at least as it relates to Nevada, and move forward.
As John mentioned, this is four times the fine that Cantor Gaming got several years ago. You know, is this a real warning to all the other gaming companies? You know, is that part of the message here?
I think it is, but I also think the Game Control Board took into account the fact that there are other jurisdictions looking at this, and you know, there may be an appetite by Massachusetts to levy a fine larger than Nevada. I would think that came into consideration as the Game Control Board is looking at that. But the broader issues generally, right, with respect to sexual harassment is a topical issue, of course. It's certainly an important issue in an all-female legislature and here in Nevada. So I think all of those things came into the consideration of the Gaming Control Board as they're looking at these issues.
And one of the things that's fascinating is that just because Steve Wynn resigned from all his positions and sold all his shares does not get him off the hook as far as the gaming commissions in any of these jurisdictions, correct?
Right. The other thing that, you know, put aside what happened yesterday, what's the future for Steve Wynn? That's going to be a very interesting thing to watch. I can't imagine that he wants to slow down and stop doing things. And now he has, I mean, the fine is against the company. I get that, but the player that they find is Steve Wynn. So from now on, there's going to be a big taint associated with him.
Yeah, and I don't think that, you know, anybody would be surprised at that. There's been talk of him, you know, continuing on with hotel building, but not you know, gaming properties, but I just think that his, you know, ability to be fined by these various commissions would be very interesting to see, because I don't think we've ever seen a situation like this where somebody who was a former owner and has divested themselves of everything, but as A.G. Burnett pointed out in this program, is still liable just because of the licenses he had, because the commissions don't let you off the hook just because you've sold out.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what his next chapter is? I don't know. I mean, obviously, as it relates to building resorts, he's been a visionary. I don't think that goes away, but he is going to suffer from the reputational damage that he has, and I'm not so sure that he'll be able to recover from that.
And more importantly, we shouldn't lose sight of the company itself. I mean, they've made, in my opinion, they've made significant steps forward, right? A number of people have left that company, resigned, forced out, and they've brought people into positions, I think, to reposition that company properly, and it's important to Nevada. And it's certainly important to Southern Nevada that that company come out of this moving forward and with the same energy that it had when Steve Wynn was there.
But it's interesting to note that the development side has changed. Going from Paradise Park to back to the golf course, believing that that's the way to go, continuing with the convention center, and seeing that as the moneymaker, and then leaving the Alon site, which Steve had bought, which was the new frontier, and leaving that on the side and saying, okay, down the road we'll develop that, but not for now.
Is that the Elaine site or the Alon site?
The Alon. Either way.
Inside baseball.
Let's talk about another issue, you know, that's you know, relatively top of mind with gaming, which is Carl Icahn, who just recently got rid of Tropicana and the Drew on the Strip. That is now going to finally be finished and no longer be an eyesore on the Strip, but encouraging Caesars, because he's now bought, in one way or another, almost 20% of the company, that they need to be sold. He is not a man to be ignored.
Yeah, tell Caesars what to do. I don't know. The big stuff on the Strip always fascinates me, and have Icahn come in and say that these things have a way of playing out over a long period of time.
But he's a very patient man. I mean,
well, yeah,
he'll sit in an investment for a long time. I mean, he paid $168 million for the Drew, and then sold it for double that.
Right.
Well, what about the Fountain Blue? I mean, he purchased that, and
well, that's what the Drew.
Okay.
Drew became.
So I mean, yeah, he sat on that for a number of years, made who knows how much money on that. You're exactly right. I mean, as a shareholder, he's not someone to be ignored by any means. But I think, similar to your point about the Wynn, I think Caesars is vitally important to Nevada. Southern Nevada in particular, but even here in Northern Nevada.
25% of the room base.
But Caesars has had a long history with mergers and acquisitions, and it has come up on top and succeeded mightily. They have a lot of smart people there on their board, their leadership. I think they'll make some shrewd decisions and get Caesars on the path to profitable days.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be, facing Mark Vizora. This guy, you know, Icahn wants him out. He's kind of pushing very hard at the leadership of Caesars.
Yeah, I think John brings up the right question, right? Is Carl Icahn coming in to break up the company and make as much money as possible, regardless of whether the benefits to the community are there as in terms of breaking up Caesars, or are there real internal problems within Caesars Palace, and this company should have been broken up a long time ago, and that would be the better outcome both for the company and for the economy in Las Vegas?
Okay, so that leads me into maybe a question we can't answer, but I mean, when you see what happened when TPG and Apollo, you know, bought the company in a leveraged buyout, and then ended up with $18 billion worth of debt. They just discharged $10 billion of debt, of which they had to put up $4 billion to be able to make that happen. You know, is the management of the company. And one last point here is that Phil Satre, who ran Caesars and prior as Harrah's, is sitting across the street at Wynn as the chairman of the board. And I would love to pick his brain as to what he's thinking right now. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about what's happening here in Carson City after this time out.
Atlantic Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
Because of UMC, there's a wide open road ahead of me.
Because of UMC, she can grow up with her twin sister.
Because of UMC, I'm here to help you.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We're doing an all-pundit show with John Sandy IV, Russell Rowe, and Joe Guild. A great pundit lineup here. Joe, I've got to ask you, I do have a couple of other questions here before we get to Carson City. The news broke from Todd Prince in the Las Vegas Review-Journal that Barrick is considering making a hostile offer for its biggest competitor, Newmont Mining. What would that mean for Nevada?
I knew you were going to ask this question.
Well, it's going to be mining and water if you're going to be here. Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, I represent Newmont. What does this mean for Nevada? Well, you know, the two corporate cultures couldn't be any different than they are. And so if Barrick is successful, the question I've got, well, first of all, will they keep me on retainer?
The most important question.
Second, which culture will prevail? Will the Newmont model, which is kind of low-keyed, do your technical stuff, and this is no criticism, but Barrick was more out in front with corporate giving and things like that. So which culture will prevail? I don't know. The answer is I don't know. I thought it was interesting the Newmont response to the Barrick announcement for the takeover was we're better managed. We do it better than you guys. We're worldwide, but so are you. But you know, you haven't really done it that well. So there'll be a lot of tension, assuming the Barrick takeover is successful. This is the fourth time Barrick has taken a run at Newmont, by the way. And the three other times, the Newmont shareholders rejected the takeover. So, I don't know. It'll be fascinating to watch.
To say the least. Okay, John, for you, the latest considering leaving Nevada Energy is the Las Vegas Convention Authority. As we see more and more of these large companies, and this is, of course, a semi-government agency, moving away from the power company, what does this say to you? You know, in the end, about question three, and did the public just get filled with misinformation that they could have benefited in the long run from having the choice of power?
Yeah, you know, there's to unwind the onion of that question, it would take some time.
I've got time.
Yeah. I mean, so question three was, it is what it was. I mean, it was a constitutional amendment, and I think there's a number of people that opposed question three, not for the policy it was trying to put forth, but because they didn't necessarily want to see that policy done in the Constitution. I think. Yes, obviously it was a campaign. I think there was a lot of information put out there. Was some of it misinformation? I think only time will tell. I think what the exits do say is that people that work in this industry or work in industry, when they look at the opportunities and the options that are out there for them, that perhaps a future without the utility model is better for them. Does that necessarily mean that it's better for John Q. ratepayer? Perhaps. But again, I think time will tell the story on that one and whether question three was a smart policy despite the fact that it would have amended the Constitution.
You know, I asked Michael Yakira on this program back in November how long it would take NV Energy to amortize the $63 million that they spent on that campaign. And unfortunately, he didn't have a good answer. Let me change topics for you, Russ. You know, there's a group in the legislature in the assembly that wants to have marijuana removed from pre-employment drug tests in Nevada. Mm-hmm. And this just screams at me of issues, you know, whether it's doctors, nurses, truckers, you know, firefighters, you name it.
That's right. That's right. Just about every industry, from gaming to contractors. I've had several conversations with representatives of different industries where this is coming up not because you're going out seeking the conversation. Everyone's talking about it because it creates so many difficulties for different companies. So clearly we need to have a more in-depth conversation on how marijuana is going to be integrated into our society, and particularly from an employment and business standpoint. But the legislation that you're referring to probably goes a little too far too quickly.
Yeah. I think it's too quickly, and I'm sorry to interrupt,
okay. No.
I think this legislation does raise an important point, because I don't think necessarily the assembly people that are looking at this are extreme pro-marijuana folks. They're just saying, you know, it's legal now. People can drink legally. They can consume marijuana legally, but we don't have a drug test for pre-screening for employment on alcohol. But the reason is we don't have a test for impairment. With alcohol, you can determine impairment. If somebody got in an accident, if there was this or that, that they were impaired at the time they did that. With marijuana, you don't have the ability to do that. So the pre-screen is the only thing that they have right now. And employers have a legitimate purpose, especially certain employers where people are going to be operating machinery and the safety of others is involved here, to want to be able to determine impairment or whether somebody is a consumer or not. So the policy question is a lot more detailed than just whether somebody smokes pot or not.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The deputy chief of the Reno Police Department was on the program talking about pulling people over and what the law enforcement, and I have to applaud law enforcement, I think, in the state of Nevada, Arizona, and Colorado, that they have all looked at this and said, the law has changed, we're following the law, so we're not going to just sit outside of a club waiting for somebody to drive off stone. But they have come up with ways to be at a test to see if somebody is impaired when driving. But the other issue is that there are so many different levels now of THC. You know, if you go back in the day, and I'm of course just recollecting from what people told me, there was one standard, you know, which is somebody went out and bought a lid of pot for $20 and smoked it. But now you have, you know, THC levels that are measured in from minute quantities to major quantities, marijuana that can be smoked or indulged that doesn't have THC. I mean, this is a very complex area.
Well, and if you take the medical angle of this, and somebody is actually using, say, an ointment with a lot of high THC count in it, and not using it for recreational smoking, where's the line? You know, how do you draw that line? The three of us are lawyers. There's Fourth Amendment search and seizure implications to all this too. So I think Russell said it right. a little too much, too fast. The proposal in the legislature right now, slow down and really look at this, the ramifications.
Okay, so then this brings up the other question, which is, there is a lot of tax revenue coming off of marijuana, and it's in every state that has marijuana. So at what point does the federal government go, enough with this federal ban, we need to, A, allow the medical research to continue on a national basis so we can figure out what this stuff really is, and two, and more importantly, get our federal share of the taxes. So if you were going to put a date on this, is it going to be federally legalized within 3 years, 5 years, or are we still waiting maybe 10 years down the road?
Ask me after the 2020 election.
Okay, all right, and that's a fair enough answer, Joe.
Yeah, I think that's a fair answer. You know, I represent a company that just recently purchased a big Canadian marijuana concern with worldwide fingers. I think it's going to be sooner than that. I mean, I think Russell's right, after the 2020 election. I don't think it's 10 years out. I think it's somewhere in the 4 to 6 year period of time after 2020.
John,
you it should have been 4 to 6 years ago. I mean, the banking issue alone is you know, putting a lot of people's safety at risk, in my opinion. So I think Congress had all the reason in the world to act. And again, to your point too, especially the research that could be done, and to really find whether the medicinal uses of cannabis can be achieved and recognized, and that's the federal government is standing in the way of that. I think, you know, I'm an optimist, so I think it will be sooner rather than later. I probably, if I had to put a time on it, I'd say 4 years. But Congress has not acted yet. They had every reason to act. Who knows? It could be closer to that 10-year horizon.
I think that money, that tax money is...
You know, look at where public opinion was 5, 6 to 10 years ago and where it is today. This is a pretty fast-moving target.
I think so, and you'll have the alignment of the advocates and substantial business interest in D.C. that are going to want to fix this problem. So I think you'll see it relatively soon after 2020.
And if it's anything like Nevada, a lot of conservative business people want to see this done.
Correct.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers with a great all-pundit show here. We have Joe Gill, John Sandy IV, and Russell Rowe. The Democrats came out with their Nevada blueprint in the last few days. We only have a limited amount of time here, so your initial thoughts on this?
Well, I think for the most part, it tracks the governor's State of the State address. I think he touched on a lot of the issues that there. I mean, To put it in a word, it's ambitious for a 120-day session. So I think there's a lot of these are things that are going to have to occur over the coming years rather than the next 100 days.
One of the things that's in there is a raise in the minimum wage, but no number. Where do you think that they're actually going to go with in terms of the minimum wage? Do you think they're going to try and hit 15 or something, you know, perhaps more reasonable?
No, I think that's actually one issue that's going to be anticlimactic. I think there's a lot of, I don't want to say consensus, but I think this has been talked about enough to where there's an understanding of and even a recognition of the need to raise it, and but to do it carefully. I think really it's all the other issues that are on that blueprint. And to me, it's to show me the money. I mean, where is the money going to come from to fund many of these proposals? And what does that economic forum say in the beginning of May?
Joe, you get the last word.
Well, this is similar to the blueprint laid out in the 2017 session. Difference will be there won't be 40 vetoes this session with a Democratic governor.
And that's where you have to leave it. Thank you guys for a great show. Really appreciate you being here. And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they will.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Now you can subscribe to the Nevada Newsmakers channel on YouTube. Get all the shows sent directly to your phone, your tablet, or your PC. We'll see you on the next broadcast.